chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to talk about the church in an image that Paul gave us. Yeah, kids, you've got a godly play today. You got an exciting story about Abraham I got a preview of last night. I think you'll enjoy that. Go ahead on out. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to talk about the church and an image of the church that Paul shares with us. And one of the things that happens with the idea of church is sometimes we don't intentionally perhaps do it, but we get pressed in by culture and wording and so on and so forth. One of the things that we all need to understand, and I think we probably do, is that the church is more than a building. Now, I know that the words came out of my mouth this morning, Parker, get up, it's time for church, we're going to church, but it's more than just a building on North Avenue. It's not contained in a place and a time specific to this hour on this day. And the church is more than an organization. It's not simply an enterprise that deals in a spiritual commodity where you come and consume and take in what you need when you need it. It's more than an organization. It's not simply a building. But I think we gain the understanding that the church is the people. And when we understand that the church is the people, we're starting to get on the right track. Because we're first of all talking about a people that gather like we are today. But we also, there's another part of the church being a people, and that is not only a gathering of people, but it's also a people that are sent on a mission by God. The image that Paul uses in Ephesians 4 that we'll consider in a moment is the church being a body. Paul has a vision for the body of Christ, the church being the body of Christ, doing the work of Christ for the glory of Christ. Now, when we talk about the image of a body, Paul's going to introduce a couple of things that are important, and that is, one is of playing your part. Each one of us, it says in the Word, is a part of the body of Christ, and we each have a part to play. But it's also important when we think of a body that the body enjoys health. Think of a time when you've been confronted with an issue of health in your own life. Maybe it was a sickness, maybe it was a surgery that was needed, maybe there was an injury. Maybe you're more like me where your doctor just looks at you and says, you've got to get healthy. And when we're confronted with that, we recognize that the parts of our body come into play. We hear the news and we think about the news, and we might even talk about the health and the news or the issue. But it's important that more is engaged in that. There's motion and diet and heart and mind and all of these things coming together, seeking out health. And a healthy church, a healthy body of Christ, relies on each part being engaged in God's mission. Now, Paul used this image in a couple of places, but when we look at Ephesians today, he was writing to a church that was in an area where there was a lot going on. It was a center of commerce. It was a center of worship for Artemis, the false god Artemis. It was a place where there was a lot of newcomers and outsiders had migrated there. It was a place where gymnasiums have been found, libraries have been found, and it was a place that looked at the importance of development of the mind and the body. And so I think Paul used a strong image for them that would resonate with them, but I think it's an image that will resonate with us as well. Let's take a look at what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in chapter 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And continuing in verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Father, this is your word. We pray that you would help us to know it, to understand it, and find your leading as to how we put it into practice. May it change us and make us new today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about three things that we see here in Paul's imagery of the body. I'm going to give you the 3 points right up front here, and then we'll talk about them. We're a body that's united together. We're a body that's growing together. And we're a body that's working together. You can't read that passage from Paul without recognizing the strong message of unity. Now, unity, Paul recognized, and we, if we're honest with ourselves, will recognize that sometimes that is a difficult thing. In verse 3, he talked about being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If it's NIV translation that's on your lap, it says, make every effort to live at peace. Those are words that give the image of work. This will take work. Why is it work, though, Pastor Joel? Why is it a difficult and a challenging thing? We're the church, for goodness sake. Well, I think that the melting pot that was Ephesus illustrates why it's work. Because Ephesus was a place where there were both Jews who had studied the Word of God, who knew Yahweh as their Lord and understood and knew the Ten Commandments. They'd been raised in that tradition, side by side with Gentiles who perhaps had pagan worship as part of their experience. They were shoulder to shoulder, slaves and free men. But not only slaves in the sense that, well, the slaves might have identified with one another. There were some who were slaves to households, and then there were others who would have been slaves because of indebtedness. There were men, there were women, there were wealthy, there were poor. There was a diverse group there at Ephesus. And I think Paul recognized that this unity will take work. Be diligent. Make every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Unity also is portrayed there in what he says in verses 5 and 6, where he talks about one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Unity is there in expressed in oneness. And I think the thing that we see there in him reminding us of the body and the Spirit and the hope and the Lord and the Father that we have, he's talking about us being unified in what's essential. Those are things that are essential, that we know that we have God as our Father. We know that the Spirit lives in us and gives us counsel and comfort. We know that we have a calling that comes from God. We know that we have a faith and a baptism that originates in Him. Those are the essentials that unify us. The temptation, though, comes to make non-essentials essential. If we're united by the things that are on that list, it keeps us from splintering over things that aren't on that list, things that are secondary. In verse 7, we see not only that we are unified in things that are essential, but we're reminded that we're unified in this diversity. Even though there's Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free men, men and women, and wealthy and poor, verse 7 tells us, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We're unified in our diversity. That reminds us of a few important things. The first is that we all have something to offer. In 1 Corinthians, when Paul is talking about the church as the body of Christ, in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12:12, he says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also in Christ." And then later in that passage in verse 27, he says, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." Or your translation might say, each of you is a member of it. We all have something to offer. We all are a part of the body of Christ in the church. You belong. You belong. No matter what separates you from another, no matter what difference you have in social status or your background or where you've come from, you all belong and you all have something to offer. You're needed. I think to take that one step further, we not only have something to offer, we have something unique to offer. Verse 7 reminds us, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ gives you gifting, knowing who you are, knowing the good work that he wants to accomplish in you and through you, knowing what he's going to call you to. We have something to offer. We have something unique to offer. And then the third one has kind of been implied with what I've just shared, is that Christ makes the assignments. We are gifted by Christ for the body. We're gifted by Christ for the body to do the work of the church, to build up the church, to edify it together. Can you affirm those three things with me just by repeating after me? I have something to offer. I have something unique to offer. Christ makes my assignment. We're unified in things that are essential. We're unified even in our diversity. But we're also unified in that Christ who gives us these gifts. Verse 15 and 16, to repeat those. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. Folks, we're more than church friends. We're more than a gathering, a civic gathering. We're more than a group that likes to get together and sing songs together or hear the pastor speak together. We're more than that. We're united by more than our appreciation or our disdain for the Lions or the Tigers. We're more than an association of folks who get our paychecks from places like Ford and so on and so forth. Those things we might have in common, but they're not what unites us, holds us together, that fits us. We're unified with Christ as our head. We're a gathering like no other because we're the body of Christ. We're a gathering like no other because he holds us together. We're a gathering like no other because he has gifted us through his grace to be his body, to do his work, and to bring him glory. Now, neither are we individual members doing our best. We're not made strong just by individuals doing their best on their own. We spent time recently remembering that we are a one another. Much is said in God's word about us as a one another. We're a body. There's unity. Unified in essential things, unified in our differences, unified, most importantly, by Christ. Secondly, I'd like us to consider that we're a body growing together. It's clear that the desire of this passage was to grow. I picked out phrases as I read through that. It talked about equipping, building up of the body, attaining. It spoke of a mature man. It spoke of our stature. It spoke of fullness. It included the phrase, we are no longer children. And it spoke of growing up. And ultimately, in verse 17, it says, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Growth is what's intended. Growth is the desired outcome. Growth is the expectation in the church, in what Paul depicts the church as the body of Christ. He talks about, as well, speaking the truth in love. Now, it's important to remember that that's a two-part sentence. There's speaking the truth and there's in love. Those two often get separated. There are those who would speak the truth and forget to do it in a loving manner. And then there are those who would speak in a loving manner and hold back on the truth, perhaps. In order for us to grow together, though, at times, it's important for us to hear and to speak the truth in love. When we do this, growth happens. We become fully healthy when we recognize that we're not here to display a false sense of being put together. We need to hear the truth. We need to be lovingly ministered to. We need to be in that environment of growth. As I think about this idea of growing together, and as I think about Bethel Church, I want to speak the truth to you in love for a moment. There's something that's been heavy on my spirit. Each year, one of the things that Dr. Gardner, our district superintendent, asks of us is to turn in a half-page written story of transformation. And that's hard, and it ought to be hard. I ought to be to the place where I'm like, I don't even know what one to share. There's so many. But honestly, I stand in front of you today and I say, where's the story of transformation? What story can I share? Who is it that as a result of being a part of the body of Christ, here shoulder to shoulder with this group, is a story of a transformed life? We must be the body of Christ, doing the work of Christ, for the glory of Christ. We must be a church where lives are transformed and changed by the gospel. We can't simply become a church that church people like to go to. We must be a church that makes disciples. We must be a church that has so many transformation stories that it's hard to think of which one to share. The desire is that we grow together. Not only, I'm not talking about growing in numbers, I'm talking about as we grow in Christ. As we become farther along in our discipleship than we were a year ago. As friends that we have and interact with who don't know Jesus become followers of Jesus. This comes as we work together. We're united together, we grow together, but we work together. Again, verses 12 and 13, or actually, let me start with 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There's a work of service to do. There's a building up of the body of Christ to do. When we recognize that we are united together, working together, we recognize that we are the church. We've got work to do together, and everyone is needed, and everyone has a part to play in the body of Christ. I was in a store this week, and I was browsing through the game aisle, and just kind of enjoying looking at what was there. And I saw kind of a thing with the games, and it was probably because of what was in my mind for the sermon. But a number of the games take one of your body's functions and kind of hinders it, and that becomes the game. For example, there was one where your hands are in these mitts where it makes your thumbs unusable. Wouldn't that be it'd be pretty difficult to do some things without your thumbs being usable, wouldn't it? Or there's games where you're blindfolded. Or have you seen the game where you put the thing in your mouth and spread your lips and you try to talk to each other? Do that for a moment. Try to tell your neighbor what your name is with your lips pulled wide. Okay, some of you are saying, I'm not doing that. But so I walked through that game aisle and I saw all these games that, you know, no thumbs, no lips, no sight because you're blindfolded. All of that makes for a cute game. And all of that can bring a lot of laughs. But that would make for a very handicapped church. If the lips couldn't speak and the eyes couldn't see and the thumbs couldn't do the thumb stuff. Every part is needed. Every part needs to be working together. Every part playing its part. For it to be any less than that, it handicaps the church. The verse talked about God giving some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. We make room in the church for pastors and teachers. Probably more accurately spoken, we make room for a pastor and a teacher. Give me someone to care for me and give me someone to teach me, and I'll be happy. But those apostles, their ideas are just too crazy, and those prophets, they're always stepping on toes with what they say. And those evangelists, can they talk about something else besides Jesus all the time? Every gift, every member was given to equip the church and to build it up to maturity. So let me challenge you for a few moments as we finish up. How do I find my place of working in the body? Well, what do that God blesses? The first thing I'd say is maybe explore. Find a place and serve. I think for too many years we've said, you know, we got to get you a spiritual gifts test and identify those gifts and then find a unique thing for your gifting and then find a ministry that matches all of that. And just find a place and serve. If the Lord's gifted you for it, and if he's equipped you for it, and if it's something that you're where he's got you, it will feel right. He'll bless it, and you'll know it. And if it's not, keep on exploring. Find a place to serve. There's not a test needed. Serve and see what God does with it. I was invited to lunch this week over at the Lutheran Church there on the main street going through New Baltimore. And I met the choir director. Should I say the interim choir director? I said, oh, you're the interim choir director. How long have you been doing it? 25 years. I said, I used the sentence that opens up connection. I said, tell me more. He said, well, there was a guy who worked at Selfridge, and he was over in Europe. He was our choir director. And he was flying back from Europe to Selfridge, had a heart attack on the way. And they came to me and said, we need somebody to direct the choir on Sunday, so I did it. And 25 years later, I'm still doing it. And it made me think of, yeah, guy, you're perfect for me to talk to my church about. Just do something and see what God does with it. Did he go through a whole thing of, you know, my giftings and this and all of that? And he just stepped into it. God blessed it. And something's apparently going right 25 years later that he's still leading the choir. Find a place and serve and see what God does with it. Encourage you also to inquire. I don't know if I spelled that right. I don't know if it's with an E or an I, but it works with an E. I thought it was an I, but I thought, no, all three of these start with E. I'm going to leave it. Inquire. Ask someone else what they feel you might be good at. Ask someone else how they see that you're gifted. Now, don't ask someone who's going to tell you what you want to hear. I mean, we've all watched American Idol where Simon is brutally honest with someone who can't sing, and they say, I've been told all my life I was a good singer. You know, don't get somebody who's going to tell you what you want to hear. Get someone who's going to speak the truth in love and identify, you know, I see you really excelling at this. I really see God's Spirit working through you in this way. Ask someone you trust. Ask someone who's going to be honest with you what gifts they might see in you that could be used for the body of Christ. And then the third one is engage. Engage. Find a place to serve and do it. I wanted to talk to the young people. I want to say serve when you're young. I've walked the hallways over at Lance Cruz North, and I imagine it's just like your school. Those places need kindness and love. Those places need self-control. Those places need salt and light. And who's going to take it there except you as the members of the body of Christ who have the Spirit of God in you that's producing those things in your life? This is my church key. I would love to give this to one of you, and I'd love to see how long it takes for one of you to take my church key. And what I mean by that is to say, Pastor Joel, I got some friends, and we're going to get together. We need a place to have a bonfire and maybe study the Bible. Could we use the church? And I'd say, yeah, here's my church key. Or Pastor Joel, your graphics up there are, no offense, but a little lame. Could I do a little work on the computer? Could I have the password to the computer? Yeah, sure. Pastor, could I have your key? Because I want to do a little video work that to tell my story or to tell my friend's story. And I think that I don't know if they would stand up in church and do it, but they've got a really powerful story. And I think if just them and I were working on it and got it on video, you could play it and it would be really, really powerful. I don't know. I'm just throwing out some ideas. But I would be so excited if I had to give a church key. How many of you are there today? Six of you. I would be so excited if I gave six church keys away to our teenagers because they were finding ways to engage and minister and work in the body of Christ. And that's close to my heart because I discovered what I love to do, and that's to teach about Jesus and to pastor and give care to people and to lead them in their spiritual journey with Christ. I discovered that because I was given opportunities to engage in that when I was a young person. Serve when you're young. There's another group of you that aren't off the hook, though. Serve when you're old. serve when you're older, I'll say that. I don't see a retirement clause in this body of Christ passage. I don't see an option out for I've done my time of serving and I'm going to sit back and leave it to someone else. I don't think God offers a retirement plan. Well, he does, but it's literally out of this world, if you know what I'm saying. Serve when you're young. Serve when you're old. Step in and do something and see what God does with it. Don't allow the church to be a handicapped church because your part of the body is tied behind the back or put away and not used. This image is a strong image, I'm sure, for the Ephesians, but it can be a strong image for us as well. We strive for health and vibrance and strength and vitality and all of these things in our physical bodies. Let's long for and strive for those in the body of Christ, the church, who we are. Let's be united together. Let's be committed to growing together. And let's be busy working together. Father, we thank you for saving us, for making us a part of your body, the church. We pray that you would help us to do the hard work of sustaining unity, do the difficult work of confronting the truth and growing as a result, and also of finding a place to join you in what you're doing and what you're accomplishing and doing your work for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.